96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara, and my brother cousin, C.A. Nuri, has thrown me the keys to the car, and he said, okay, you could just take it for a spin today. So I will be hosting today's show, and of course, we are always happy to have those of you who will call in, and we'll give those numbers out in short order for those of you who need it. But ultimately, before we start today's show, we want to just encourage everyone to be safe. We know there's a hurricane about to belt down on Florida, so we want to keep those people in Florida in our prayers. I'm sure that many of us have family members who may live in Florida or may be going to school in Florida. I've been seeing people evacuating and getting to safety out of Florida. And I just pray that everyone is able to get to a safe place or to hunker down in a safe space, because the storm is definitely a dangerous storm. Also, I want to give condolences to the family of Darryl Miller, lively, provocative Darryl Miller. That was definitely somewhat of a shock for me to see that he had passed. And, you know, I know everybody has a Darryl Miller story, you know what I mean? I've had an opportunity to meet him on several occasions, and he's never disappointed. And so I definitely want to give condolences to his family, to his friends, to his co-workers, of course, those in media who have had the opportunity to work with him. Definitely, you know, he's a giant whose shoes will not be filled anytime soon. And so we definitely have to keep Darryl Miller in our thoughts and his family in our prayers. All right. Also, it's rainy here in the streets of the capital. And, of course, those people in Abaco and in Grand Bahama. My mother is in Grand Bahama, so she's been keeping me abreast of how things are going for her. But we pray that this storm, you know, after it passes over Florida, you know, kind of heads out to sea. But we definitely want those in Abaco and in Grand Bahama to stay safe. You know, I know those people who experienced Dorian, I'm sure they're having some flashbacks. So I want to make sure that, you know, people who need someone to talk to, find someone to talk to. Because I know when I was working in Abaco, whenever it got a little overcast or began to rain, I spoke to some people who literally were traumatized from Dorian. And so I know this is definitely bringing back some memories for them. So definitely want to keep them in prayer as well. Today's show is a show that talks about a reality. We started to talk about it last week, the fact that this is African Holocaust Month. And this African Holocaust Month is an opportunity for Africans in the diaspora and on the continent to reflect, to be aware of what has happened to us, all right? And why is this important? This is important because as a people, we don't seem to talk about these things because we feel like it's bringing up the past and it's going to interrupt or interfere with the present. But ultimately, what I want us to get from today's show, in part, is that when we have experiences that we as a people are unaware of, and this is Dr. Amos Wilson. He speaks about the fact that the experiences that we are unaware of have more control of our present behaviors. So our present behaviors are dictated or in many instances influenced by our subconscious awareness of trauma or things that have happened to us. In fact, the example that he gives in proving this point is that psychologically, by the age of two, most of your personality has been developed. You know, by age seven, it's pretty much sealed. But by the age of two, most of your personality has kind of been sealed and or developed. According to psychiatrists, and most of us don't remember what happened before the age of two, right? So there's things that have happened to us in our formative years, even up to age seven, if we want to go that far, that basically have made us who we are as far as personality is concerned. And we're doing things and we're saying, well, that's just me. You know, I'm just who I am. You know what I mean? Not recognizing that collectively we have a personality as a people. And collectively we're doing things. And this African Holocaust Month is an opportunity to discuss it. So last week, it actually began online, on Zoom. It's free for those people who may want to join in next week. Just go to journeyhomegroup.com. But we're talking about this reality of an informational Holocaust. So we're not just merely talking about the Holocaust that has happened to us physically as Africans, but the fact that after we have been emancipated as a people, the systems and the people who would have perpetrated this Holocaust or this slavery or this Maafa on us as a people, they moved physically out of the way, but they left their systems in place. And one of the systems that they have interfered with is the information highway. And they've done that through religion, through economics, through labor, through sex, gender, through education, through law, through war security, through entertainment, and through politics, through the nine areas of people activity. And the only way that we as a people can continue to carry on in the vein that we are carrying on, whereby we see murders literally, you know, almost on a daily basis, definitely a weekly basis, where we see struggling students in a education system that clearly is not working for them, where we see homes that are being parented by single parents and in most instances single mothers, where we see our ability to diffuse conflict, you know, basically being nil, whereby we have to stab or shoot or just get mad. We even have a culture now of just throwing people away, whereby if we have a argument or we have a disagreement or we have a misunderstanding, we just decide, I don't need you. You know, all of this comes out of a traumatic, generational traumatic past that we've had. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about why it's important for us as Africans to talk about our Holocaust. But I want to just say that this week coming up, for those who are interested, there will be a discussion on the reality of us being ignorant to the insertion of false data, a tool of racism, white supremacy. So oftentimes we talk about empirical data, not recognizing that, as Dr. Amos, and I did a lot of research with Dr. Amos Wilson on this particular topic, but he talks about the fact that institutions, one of the main purposes of institutions is to perpetuate themselves and to perpetuate the need for themselves, to perpetuate an ideology, to produce the actual data necessary for their necessity. And so this ignorance that we have to the insertion of false data is one of the tools of racism, white supremacy. And there are several segments related to that that we'll be talking to. We as a people often don't talk about our Holocaust as a Holocaust. And again, that's very intentional when we look at what we are talking about as far as the African Holocaust. The Jews talk about their Holocaust consistently. In fact, they have actual society or organizations, rather, that will check you if you don't speak on their Holocaust the way that they want you to talk about their Holocaust. We see a big war brewing in what they're calling the Middle East right now. And it makes it seem as if these are the only people that have had a Holocaust, right? And their Holocaust, you know, coming in World War II with Hitler and killing of over 6 million Jews is something that they should never stop talking about. They should always make sure that the world understands what has happened to them, because if they stop talking about it, then they may be doomed to repeat it again. Well, the same thing happens with we as African people. I want to give those of you who may not know an understanding of a Holocaust that happened even before the Jewish Holocaust. It's called the Herero and the Namaqua genocide. And this was the massacre of approximately 50 to 65,000 Herero and 10,000 Nama people between 1904 and 1907. So roughly 40 years before what we're calling the Jewish Holocaust. But the background to this story is that the Germany formerly colonized was called GSWA in 1884. Prior to colonization, several distinct native groups lived freely in the area, including the Herero, the Nama, the Damara, the San, the Ovambo. Under German rule, so these same Germans that were responsible for killing these Jews was killing Africans first. We don't talk about this. We don't learn about this. Under German rule, many of these native groups were used as slave labor and had their land confiscated and their cattle stolen as a result of this treatment. Tensions between the native population and the ruling Germans continued to rise. So there was the issues that led to an uprising. January 1904, so approximately 100 years after the Haitian Revolution, you have this uprising. This is in Africa. This is around Namibia. In January, 1904, the Herero population led by Chief Samuel Mahiriro carried out a large armed rebellion against the oppressive German colonial rule. I never learned this in school. I don't know about y'all, but I never learned this in school. The German ruling forces were unprepared for the attack, and approximately 123 German colonial settlers were killed by the Herero. Over the following months, however, the Herero were slowly overwhelmed by the more modern, well-equipped German force under the command of Major Theodor Lutwin. By June of 1904, Major Lutwin had cornered the Herero forces at the Waterberg Plateau and was attempting to negotiate their surrender. The German government in Berlin were frustrated by Lutwin's slow progress in dissipating the uprising, and in May of 1904, appointed Lieutenant General Lothar von Trotha, Supreme Commander of the German Army. Trotha arrived in this German colony on the 11th of June, 1904. Here's where the genocide begins. On August 11th of 1904, Trotha abandoned negotiations for a surrender and attempted an aggressive encirclement tactic surrounding the Herero at the Battle of Waterberg and killing between 3,000 and 5,000 Herero combatants. Yet despite the brutal tactics of the Germans, most of the Herero managed to escape into a part of the desert called Omahiki. Under Trotha's command, the Schutztrupp ruthlessly pursued the thousands of Herero men, women, and children who were attempting to cross the desert to reach the British protectorate of what today is called Botswana. Thousands of Herero died from being shot to death, drinking water from poisoned wells, or from thirst and starvation in the desert. On the 2nd of October, 1904, Trotha escalated the violence against the Herero in an order within the German borders. Every male Herero, armed or unarmed, will be shot to death. I will no longer take in women or children, but will drive them back to their people or have them fired at. These are my words to the Herero people. This is what this particular German officer was saying. The great general of the mighty German Kaiser. The Herero witnessing Germany's other genocide. So this is a genocide that happened before, and there's more you can read on it, there's more we can touch on, but I wanted to make us aware of the fact that this happened, and we don't talk about it, right? The Jews make a movie every year about killing Nazis, right? In real life, they still go after Nazis. I'm not suggesting we go and kill people, but we definitely need to understand and know why it's important to have these conversations, because in having these conversations, we can then begin a more productive conversation regarding our behavior as a people and why we do some of the things that we do. This was only an example, of course. Before this particular genocide, we would have had one Christopher Columbus in 1492, beginning what they refer to as the Age of Discovery. And so this conversation is also pointed in that direction because, of course, we have National Heroes Day coming up, which at one time was Discovery Day. And what I don't want for us as a people to do in this country is to remove the name Discovery Day, replace it with National Heroes Day, but forget what actually happened to us. I think it's important for us to celebrate our heroes and to know the importance of these heroes. But I think it should be in the context of a people who had to become heroes under the context of colonialism, under the context of neocolonialism, under the context of being dependent on our very oppressors, to the point whereby if we are serious about taking this country to the next level, we will ultimately address where we're at from a perspective that gives us a chance to actually solve the problem. Let me explain what I mean when I say that. Again, Dr. Amos Wilson beckons to those of us who will listen that in order for us to really solve a problem, we must go to the root of the problem. He's not the only person who said this, right? This is a common sense notion in problem solving. Go to the root of the issue. Many times, we as a people go to the symptoms of the problem. And we attack the symptoms of the problem. And we get overwhelmed with attacking the symptoms of the problem. Let me give you an example. We have a murder issue in this country. And the reality of the murders, many of these murders are being committed by using guns, right? And ultimately bullets. We don't make guns in this country. We don't make bullets in this country. The guns and the bullets are getting into this country somehow. Any one of us who have traveled have had to been top down, scanned by TSA or whichever security force was at the border. We know how difficult it is to bring a bottle of water, much less a gun, through that security. So the guns ain't coming on the plane in that way. Let me just say it that way, in that way. Not on the commercial jets. But we know that we've heard about guns coming through cars. We know we've heard about guns coming on boats, etc., right? But this is a symptom. This is a symptom. Why do we want these guns? Why do we want to kill each other? What about the self-hate that still remains in us how do we address the self-hate and where is it coming from? Well, we can't get to that issue unless we go back to what we don't in many instances want to talk about. Again, Dr. Amos Wilson talks about the fact that we as a people, we are dominated. We have to be aware of the fact that we are dominated. You know, when I hear about, you know, they always show these Alcoholic Anonymous meeting and those people who may have had the experience of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, when you go to these meetings, you have to admit that you're an alcoholic. You have to admit that you have this problem, and the only way you're going to be able to actually solve this issue or deal with it is you got to admit that, right? And so as a people, we at some point have to admit that we are a dominated people insofar as, yes, we were emancipated in 1834, right? Yes, we had majority rule, 1967. Yes, we had independence, 1973. But even with being emancipated and having this self-rule, this majority rule, you know, having this idea of independence, we still are dependent on the very people that put us in this position in the first place. And so where it leaves us is we are in a reactionary mode. We are always reacting to a dominant culture that operates out of denial. We operate out of fear, but the dominant culture operates out of denial. What does that mean? It means that when we begin to have these types of conversations, the denials begin to come full force in the fact that, well, you know, that was in the past. That wasn't something that actually we did. That was something that, you know, people before us did. You weren't even a slave, so why are you even talking about slavery? Nobody here was a slave owner. Nobody here was a slave. So why are we even having this conversation? Even though, and this is why we got to have the conversation, the task of the dominant culture is to remain conservative. Why conservative? Because they must conserve the advantages that they have gained off of the Holocaust of African people. The advantages that they have gained are many. We can talk about resources, we can talk about land, we can talk about systems, we can talk about institutions. We can talk about many things that they must ultimately maintain an advantage of. And if we understand that this conservatism, because many of us have adopted this conservatism, thinking that we actually have a place in this hierarchy, right? And I ain't getting into black and white per se. Getting into dominant culture and I'm getting into a dominated culture. The dominated culture has a task of ultimately becoming revolutionaries. And to become revolutionary doesn't mean to go and get guns and Molotov cocktails and destroy property. That's again, that's something that they inserted into our psyche so that every time you mention this term revolution, you would be seen as a threat. But the reality is that revolution simply means to return to an original order. And this return to an original order ultimately will set things back in their original order. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. That's a revolutionary statement that we hear in religious circles all the time. Right? And so this reality of being dominated, we have to look at it from all of the 9 levels of people activity. This is important because those who are dominating are the minority on the planet. All right? These Western cultures make up approximately 10% of the entire planet. So the only way that this dominant culture can continue to dominate is to make sure that the 90% of the indigenous people on the planet are out of their minds, are literally operating in a way that is backwards to them originally thinking and originally succeeding. And so we ultimately have a situation where it is a political necessity for us to be out of our minds in order for this society to operate the way that it is operating. I see some callers are starting to call in, but let me give you these telephone lines. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, of course, in the Outer Islands is toll free, 242-300-5720. And of course, the text line is powered by BTC422GR96. That's 422-4796. Kermit, I think we have a caller or a few callers. So let's jump on those callers here on Guardian Radio AM. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, brother. How are you doing?
My brother, how are you? I'm well.
All right. I just tuned in just now. When I tuned in, I tuned in a few minutes ago, and I heard you talk, and I thought that you were just like having a little session, but you talk to him as if you're hosting the show today.
Yeah, I'm hosting today. So Nuri, he threw me the keys and said, drive it around the block. So
I got it. I ain't bothered. But yeah. I mean, I just mentioned Mr. Straw the other morning how because they were talking about parenting and family and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I was, because I had called him previously before that, and we had had a discussion on how slavery impacted the way we parent today, because, you know, we didn't really have any example. And the further back you trace it, you'll understand the situation, because who taught my great-great-grandfather to be a good parent, to pass it on to the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was trying to explain to him that whenever we're talking about those type things in a society, if we leave out slavery, it's a counterproductive conversation,
yep.
because you can't get to the root.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
That's very true. It's miseducation.
Without any kind of understanding of the situation, and if you don't understand the problem, you can't bring no solution to it.
Correct.
You know, so, you were saying that the oppressed people, that they operate out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more the ignorance.
So let me hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you. But there's a relationship to ignorance that I was about to talk about. But go ahead.
All right, because I mean, even they say lack of knowledge that people suffer. You know what I mean? Because the thing about it is that they feel as if they are right. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? See, the thing about it is that the thing that they must stand against is the thing that they stand that they will die for. Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, envy not the oppressed and take part in none of his ways. I think that's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 or somewhere up in there. It says, envy not the oppressor and take part in none of his ways, because it is an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what people need to understand is that the whole theme of the Bible is based on that.
Right.
That's why Daniel get put in the lion's den.
Right.
That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got put in the fiery furnace.
Right.
Because they refused to bow down to the ways of the oppressor. They refuse to bow down to the God of the ways of the oppressor. Instead, they choose to stand on the ways of their forefathers, and for it they were punished.
Yes.
You see, so what we have to understand is that in our time, that is the kind of sacrifice or the kind of punishment or the kind of like burden we're supposed to be ready to bear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whenever you stand up for the truth, you're supposed to be faced with that type of repercussion.
Yeah.
You understand where I come from? Because you are trying to go against the grain in a very serious way, you see. And what the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel taught us or showed us is that it showed us that the rest of the people, all the Daniel people, all the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego people, they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was only those few individuals who stood up against it, but the rest of the people were doing it.
Right.
You understand? So That's why the Bible talks about the majority being incorrect in this time, and how the narrow road few go down that road.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because it's a hard road; it ain't easy. You see?
Yeah.
But the majority doing the easy thing, and they think they doing the hard thing, and talking about they getting the burden, because you know Christians like to talk about this, get persecuted, which is so strange.
Right.
You know, but so the people need to understand that type of perspective. They need to understand that. Okay, hey. The time we living in, like if we are people who was subjected to what the people in the Bible were subjected to, that slavery, because it doesn't refer to every race of people in the world, only those who were subjected to this oppression,
mm-hmm.
who have been transformed enter another people who have been made to follow the gods and the ways of another people.
Right.
You see, I mean, and the Bible makes this clear. Like I said before, this is the whole theme of the Bible, and that's why I cannot understand how is it that we have so many churches over here and all of, and the pastors over here cannot link that message to the people to make them understand how important slavery is to us and how we need to check ourselves to see if we are serving the same God as the people who oppressed us.
Right.
And if we are, then we're in big problem.
Correct.
You understand where I'm coming from, and see?
Yep.
And so, like, but, like you said before, though, I mean, oh, I can say that again, but so, like, what we have to do, like I said before, is can you imagine, see, we got to put these things to people so they can understand what's going on. Can you imagine Pharaoh and Moses going to church together and serving the same God? Can you imagine that?
Oh, boy.
And the thing about it is that the God is in the image of Pharaoh.
My Lord.
You understand? And, see, and that is equivalent to what we're doing now because the oppressor, the white man, them who oppress us, they could come right down here in the old church, Benny in.
Mm-hmm.
All of them could come down here and be serving the same God as them. That's how come we could serve God with our oppressor.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
We could, and that is an abomination in the Bible.
Yes.
You see, and in Deuteronomy tells us that if we refuse to follow the ways of our forefathers, that we're going to suffer.
That's right.
You see, and the thing is that Christians believe that the Bible and the Bible things must get worse. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you do the right, we will have goodness in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do the wrong, we will have the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't no inevitable wrong.
No.
You know what I mean? Unless you have your mindset on not doing the right.
Yeah, bro.
If you understand my point, you know, brother.
Yeah.
You see, you know what I mean? We just in problems, my brother, and see, like, and brother Uncle, I mean, I can tell you this, and see, that's why, brother, like, for me, I mean, I respect some of the individuals who have churches over here because some of them are sincere
mm-hmm.
in what they feel as if they are doing,
mm-hmm.
right? But once I have a conversation with them and they refuse, then that's the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't walk around showing the people them who teaching the people wrong ultimate respect.
Right.
You understand where I'm coming from? So you see, they got, I hear you be calling them elders sometimes. That's why I just throw that in at you.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
So the point is that, brother, we have to start to teach the right thing to these people so they can understand and so that they can see themselves as the people in the Bible
mm-hmm.
and not try to, like, equate everything to the world, because the whole world ain't like us.
No.
You know what I mean? We need a special type of medicine, and like I said before, it's going to be a serious thing because, you know, I mean, who today would want to get put in a lion's den for failing to bow down to a certain religion?
No.
These people wouldn't be into that.
No.
You understand? So,
not a Coliseum.
That's
going
to show you how
right.
difficult it will be for us to overcome this, and we got to teach the youth the truth, man. We got to teach the truth, but I'm cool. But see, like you say, again right now, because I got to hit the road. I can listen to you while I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you made a very important statement, Uncle. You said that we would have to be out of our minds.
Yes.
Right? To accept certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? You understand where I'm from, right?
Yeah.
And you will have to be out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Once you understand the globe model,
mm-hmm.
to accept that, because it's nothing but a bunch of foolishness to believe people upside down in Australia and all kind of different things. And
mm-hmm.
things that, to believe the whole stiff story.
Yeah. We can get to that. I can do a show on
Flutter. Yeah, you know, because the demise power. We
can talk about that.
You know?
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, Sonia, but like I said, good show today, Uncle. And like I said, my brother, we got to stand up and we got to be like Daniel and we got to have no fear.
Yes, we agree on that.
And we can't be scared to go to the fire and we can't be afraid to, like, tell those who like, spreading the wrong that they wrong.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Appreciate your call, man.
All the best.
Yes, my brother. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You know, ignorance leads to fear and denial. And fear and denial leads to racism, white supremacy, whereby racism, white supremacy is the child of ignorance. So that's where, Brother Clint, you and I, we agree. Insofar as ignorance is a part of the formula, ignorance is what breeds the fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. And that's, again, one of the discussions we're going to be having this weekend. I think we have another call there, Kermit. Let's get these callers in, and then we'll get to the text. Caller, good morning.
Namaste, Uncle.
Namaste, my sister. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great.
I'm listening to the discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to, a personal question came to me. It's like learning so much about what happened to people like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, all those many years ago,
right.
and even now today,
mm-hmm.
On a more secret scale,
mm-hmm.
you know. How, like for you, how then does it make you look at these other people? You know, do you look at them differently? You know, do you, when you see them around town or in your general vicinity or going to the same places as you, does it pop up in your head, like the image of what these people or how they used to treat us?
Are they still treating us?
I'm just, yes.
Yeah.
But on a, like I say, on more, or so, on more, they're more secret with it now. But, you know, how does it make you feel as a person? Because listening to all these things kind of opening up my eyes, and, like, I still see them as people, but then, you know, because they are people, but, you know, it leads me to think, you know, what kind of humans are they? You know, where did they come from? Where did that mindset come from?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to find out from you, does it make you see them differently?
Well, it has made me not worship them. See, when I was in a slave mentality, I would worship them and I would want to be like them. But understanding the realities that we're talking about today, it doesn't make me hate anybody. I don't have time to hate anybody. But it also makes me not want to love them. I don't, just because I don't hate you doesn't mean I gotta love you. Right. I can deal with individuals. I can deal with any race of people as an individual, and I can treat them accordingly, you know, based on how they treat me. I have no issue with that. And that even goes for black people, right? Mm-hmm. Or African people, right? Because not all African people are on the same page, right? But ultimately, what this discussion does in terms of us going back and understanding what has happened to us collectively and individually, it gives us now an opportunity to identify a problem that we can now heal. So within the Holy Coptic Church, we understand that for each trauma, there's a ritual designed to assist in healing that trauma. And this is the purpose of priests and priestesses and teachers, etc. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I wanted to ask then, since there is a ritual in the healing process,
mm-hmm.
can you then do a show or two like to guide some of us who aren't in your church or mm-hmm. don't have, you know, to learn how it is or what it is that we need to do in order to start that process?
Right. I can do that. I can have a conversation in like a basic conversation. I can't give specifics.
No, I expect it to
right.
be basic, because I
yeah.
you can't go through the whole thing
right.
or go through
right.
part of it, because it's more, I think, more on a personal level.
Right.
But yes, I would like to hear or have a general idea as mm-hmm. to what it is we need to do or look out for
yeah.
or how it is we need to start the process.
Yeah, that's no problem. We may do that before the end of the month. We could definitely tie this conversation into that, because it is necessary for us to be able to understand how to heal. And we want those who want to embrace the realities of what we're sharing to be able to do so. And so, of course, you're always welcome on a Wednesday or a Sunday to join us on Zoom, where we have more detailed conversation. But yeah, we can do that. Any
Thank
other?
You.
You're very welcome. 323-623-3253-1632-54259. Guardian AM at CA Nuri. Of course, my name is Kahunanku Sarah. We got more callers. Let's hit these callers up, and then we can jump on the text line. Caller, good morning. Caller going once.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
How are you? I'm doing well, Kahunanku.
Great.
Just want to take the conversation in a slightly different direction.
Sure.
If I may.
Sure.
I want to know, can you speak to the concept of the fact that, let us suppose,
mm-hmm.
or as a matter of factual assimilation, that the story of the Bible is the story of people, and several people.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a Greco-Roman story. and or a Jewish story.
Mm-hmm.
Can you accept that?
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
Okay, you've heard that. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be absolute.
Right.
But it's a story of those persons.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have is, if we accept that and we don't disagree with that,
mm-hmm.
why is there not, for mostly Black people of African descent, why is there two things? One, such an affinity with that story,
mm-hmm.
one, and a absolute do not care or no desire at all to learn their story.
Wow. You actually hitting the nail right on the head. You ain't taking the conversation in another direction. This is where we was headed.
Well, go with that.
Definitely. The trauma that we have experienced, right? I remember there's a priest, a great priest, by the name of Priest Zebi, a Rastafarian priest here in Bahamas. But he was from Ghana, and he would spend time in Jamaica and in Bahamas. But he would reference the realities around them beating things out of us. He said, they beat it out of we. They beat it out of we. Any inkling of us wanting to speak our own language, any inkling of us wanting to live our own culture, any inkling of us wanting to see our narrative as the authority was in many instances beaten out of us. If it wasn't physically beaten out of us, we were put in a marginalized, and it still happens today. You look at our Rastafarian brothers and sisters today, you look at those who are, I guess, a part of the conscious community, as they may refer to it, or anybody who has a narrative outside of that Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian narrative, they are marginalized not only in a cultural way, but in a very economic way, whereby they will let you starve. They will tell you you can't work on any meaningful way in some countries. And this one included, right, if you have a particular stance or if you have a particular way of thinking, right, even though you ain't coming to work to talk about that, even though you may not, you know, you may be very good at what you do, if you have these ideas, right, they don't want you to even take care of yourself, right? That has everything to do with this dominant culture dominating us. In these nine areas of people activity, we are now in an information age. We have come to the end. This the end of ignorance is upon us. We're now in the information age. And so it's a turbulent time because there are things that are being exposed now. And for those who have taken the time to educate themselves or are educating themselves and now are in a position to share this information, it is a revolutionary moment because it's going to overturn systems. It's going to overturn institutions because once the hearts of the people have been revolutionized and their minds have been revolutionized, the wants and the motivations are going to change. So now people want to actually learn about their story. They want to learn about our story versus history. You understand? And what that does now is it causes churches, it causes financial institutions, it causes schools, it causes families to have to reevaluate their agenda and have to reevaluate their efforts. Remember, the task of a dominated people is to become revolutionary. The task of the dominators, people who are dominating, is to be conservative. So many people are going to have to move themselves from a conservative perspective, and they're going to now have to come home to their way of thinking. So I appreciate that question. We got another call, and then I'll jump on the text line. I know I'm promising the text line. Coming right after this call. Caller, welcome to Guardian AM.
Yeah, blessed morning. Give thanks.
Yes, 52.
But listen, you know, I like what Davji boy, the Rasta man, Chris, right?
Yeah.
I like what he was saying. You know, in short, right, I guess we have fallen short because we have failed to follow the legacies and ideologies of our ancestors, right?
Correct.
Now, what I hate, right, Uncle, tell me if something is wrong with me as it relates to what you and Rasta was talking about earlier, right?
Mm.
I get, like, upset within myself knowing that I know the history and the legacy of the woman papacy. Some people say papacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get so angry when I hear people, educated people, come on the radio and they bragging flamboyantly that they are Roman Catholics, right? And I used to be wondering, like, where their minds are at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard you, and I learned something this morning about the Holocaust that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that particular one, but, you know,
yeah,
we paid a hell of a cost, right?
Yeah.
So now what happened is I know about many atrocities from the Mau Mau, et cetera, and the atrocities that King Leopold and the Belgians carried out within the Congo region.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that is the most dead because the Congo was the most enriched area that actually enriched all of Europe.
Yeah.
And so they don't want us to know our history. And I like how you, well, Rasta already mentioned this is the age of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So they become frightened when people become enlightened because then people will have the right form of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do now is, in order to bring some of our lost sheep back home, who don't even have the gonads of Little Bo Peep to go look for their sheep,
mm-hmm,
but they are in too deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is they don't understand that they are part of the problem because when you look at the history of religion and the influence of the papacy on our God concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can do a show on the effects of the transliteration because we know that the Pope them actually twisted the Bible by using transliteration in order to gain the ideologies that they want. Even and please expose Paul.
Oh yeah, well,
who was Saul? Because a lot of people like to draw rappers to Paul. They really have no idea. I mean, I'm so sick of the ignorance. But hey, Andrew, I hear what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know everything you know. But I know, mm-hmm, I know what you're saying is true because I'm able to use. I want people who hear my voice. When you don't know something, even if it's science, whatever it is, just juxtapose it with common sense, and you would be okay. Bless up.
Yes, my brother. I always appreciate 52. You know, every time 52 voice note me, I save it because I love the way he's rhyme. You know what I mean? Let's go to the text line right quick. Great show, as usual. I have a question. I have a serious question. You had a show a couple of weeks ago, and you said sex in season. Where in the world? Where in the world you get that from? Which man or bohemian in the history of black people will hold out when they have sex and don't? Right, sorry, you're a little raw. I can't read what you put there, but let me, and don't, okay, so you want to understand the conversation last week regarding sex within season, and a person not ejaculating. All right, when we come after the break, I will jump into that for a second. I'll get to the rest of the text. And, of course, we can take some more calls. I see some more callers waiting. So just hang in there, Guardian AM. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Ankusara. Today we have a discussion on African Holocaust Month. You know, October is dated as the month when the Age of Discovery began, when Christopher Columbus landed here in the Bahamas. And that led to many atrocities, right? And so this month, within the Holy Coptic Church, we acknowledge and we observe and we discuss every weekend during this month. You can go to journeyhomegroup.com if you want to be a part of the conversation, because I think it's a necessary conversation. All right. 323-622-325-4316-325-4259. Let me just jump back into these texts right quick. This texter wants to understand, we talked about sex out of season. And again, this ties into the whole discussion of African Holocaust Month, because what the dominant culture, what the Western culture was able to do was to infuse their pornography into our society. And so we have no real concept of natural sexual union and the healing properties of it and the strengths of it if we don't go back to our cultural realities. And so when we talk about ejaculation and when we talk about laying down with a woman and not ejaculating, I know that for some men that seems impossible. But we also have to pay attention to the fact that we have, you know, high levels of erectile dysfunction, not just here in the Bahamas, but, you know, around the world. This is why that little blue pill is so popular right now, and these juice people buying is so popular, because we don't understand how to take care of ourselves reproductively, all right? And so I don't have time to get into every aspect of it, but just know that that is also a part of this African Holocaust as well. Someone was asking, will Darrell Miller have a state funeral? I don't know. That's a great question. I leave that up to people in the news department, but I'm putting it out there. Will Darrell Miller have a state funeral? I think that's a good question, but I can't answer that one. I'm very sorry. I don't have the answer for that one. Another text here. Someone say they are not prepared to get thrown into the lion's den. I bet you. We ain't into no lion's den. All right, another text here. Uncle, many people don't hail me or look down at me because I am very dreadlocks. Schoolmates and the police are like, this shows they the Euro Negroes and can't help their ignorance and love of masses way of life. Well, I agree. I agree. That's 52. I had locks at one point, and I could tell you the difference. I wanted to have locks, to have the experience of what it is like to be in a country that is 90% African descent and to be marginalized. And I was marginalized. And I remember someone even calling my father and asking him if I was on crack, if I was on cocaine, because I had locks and I was working construction at the time. And you know, it's just the mentality that comes out of a Holocaust that we're up against more than anything else. All right, let's jump back to the phone lines. See another caller waiting here on Guardian AM with C.A. Nuri. Caller. All right. 323-622-325-4316. 325-4259. This reality of an African Holocaust is one that even creeps into the discussion of the very social ills that we are plagued with today. I see that there's a call now for the resumption of hangings, right? And call, I see you, we can get to you right in a second, right? The resumption of hangings. And you know, I guess that's a whole nother topic, but we are at a point where you know, our way of dealing with these social ills, we're almost bankrupt. And I don't disagree with it. I do think that we may have to pop some necks to deal with these situations, because these people are killing because they can. They are terrorizing because they can. And they are becoming a part of another dominant culture, a criminal element. Let's jump back to the phone lines. I think the caller is back with us here on Guardian AM. Caller, good morning.
Good work.
I can hear you. How you doing? Hello? We don't have much more time, so I pray we could get that call in. But in any event, This has been Guardian AM. We're going to continue this conversation next week. And, of course, C.A. Nuri sends his love. He is a man on the move. And so he asked me to take the car for a spin around the block. So I'm now going to park it back where I met it. And I want to encourage you to stay locked into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. My brother Howard is about to come on, and I know it's going to be another great show. So keep it locked here, 96.9 FM. My name is Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. This has been Guardian AM at C.A. Nuri. Y'all be safe. Namaste.